How are you this morning? How's this side this morning? That side's doing good. How are you all this morning? Did any of you doubt that I would show up today? Reynolds did. Sorry to disappoint you, brother. I'm here. You're tickled pink. You look a little red back there. Are you okay? Last week we started a new series, and it's called the We Are More Than First series. And we're basing that upon the truth of Jesus Christ, who conquered death and the grave. He is risen. You know, you ever think about why we only say that on Easter Sunday? He is alive forevermore. And because of the power of Jesus Christ that conquered death, conquered the grave, gave his life on the cross for the payment of our each one who have placed their faith in Jesus are also more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. But often we don't feel like conquerors, do we? How many of you wake up every morning and say, I'm going to conquer everything that comes my way today? Most of us wake up in the morning and say, oh, you do, sir? Praise the Lord. I want to be like that because we are in Christ. When we're found in Christ, we become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everything that belongs to Jesus Christ, everything that Jesus Christ is, has become who we are and what belongs to us through him. We're joint heirs with him. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We have a promise that we will have life everlasting that will never end with our Father in heaven because of Jesus Christ. We know that even death and the grave will not hold those that have placed their faith in Jesus. Because Jesus was the foes that have placed their faith in him shall also conquer death and the grave. There is no sting in death. I love how Psalm 23 reads, it's the shadow. I've never been hurt by a shadow, have you? A shadow of a dog cannot bite you. A shadow of a gun cannot kill you. And the shadow of death holds you in the ground because of Jesus Christ and his conquering power over death and the grave. And today we're going to take that a step further and look at what it's like to be a conqueror over doubt. Anyone here struggle with doubt? The rest of you probably doubt that you struggle with doubt, so raise your hand anyhow. Something that I have found in my life could well up inside of me and change an entire course of the day, not to mention the week or the month, the longer I allow doubt to control. But I believe that through Jesus Christ, we can conquer that doubt with trust. What's another word for trust? Faith. We can conquer doubt with trust. Doubt can destroy integrity. It does affect emotions. It ruins our dreams. And it leaves us broken in spirit. Doubt weakens confidence. Doubt erodes our trust in God and can undermine the potential he has for each of our lives. According to dictionary.com, doubt is to be uncertain about, consider questionable or unlikely, hesitant to believe. In the Nelson's Bible Dictionary, doubt is defined as lack of belief or faith in God and his provisions. Romans 14, verse 23 in the second part, in the Amplified Bible reads, whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is done with doubt is sinful. Have you been there? Have you found yourself at times where you just about doubt everything? I'm quite sure if you're there today, you're amongst friends. that either have experienced it in the past or maybe experiencing doubt today. But be encouraged. I want us to understand clearly that doubt can be conquered. Doubt can be rid from our life, but it requires learning how to even when you can't see what's next or understand why. Take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to John chapter 20. How many of you guys know a man, Thomas? He shows up within the pages of Scripture. Thomas has a nickname. And what's his nickname? Doubting Thomas. However, there's two other things about Thomas that we're going to look at first, because I find this disciple of Jesus Christ rather intriguing. We're going to read this passage in John in just a moment, but I want to go back. The passage John is talking about resurrection. But a couple other times Thomas is mentioned, we don't know a lot about him. He was a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus. He was known as a doubter. In John 20, verse 27, the NIV, Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." But not only Not only was Thomas a doubter, he also seemed to live a life of uncertainty and a life that lacked hope. And I think that goes together. When we have an issue with doubting, there's a level of uncertainty in our life, and there's a level of hopelessness that comes along with our doubt. So, you guys remember when the story about when Lazarus died, a dear friend of Jesus? Well, it's recorded in John chapter 11, and Jesus told his disciples now that Lazarus had died, and they was going to Bethany. Listen to what Thomas said to Jesus after Jesus told his disciples that Lazarus had died, and now he's going to go to Bethany. You can find this, and I'm not making this up, so you can find it later in John chapter 11, verse 16. Thomas said, "Let us also go that we may be with him." Let us also go so that we may die with him. Now, one thing I want you to pick up on. Thomas did something else here. He does it again, as recorded in John 18. But see if you see what he does to the other disciples with him. Did you notice anything in that statement that Thomas just said? Thomas just said, "Well, let me go too so that I may die with him." What did Thomas do with the rest of the disciples? He threw them under the bus with them. He said, "Let us all go too so we may die also." Now, this is Thomas. Maybe find yourself relating a little bit to Thomas. What a hopeless statement. What a statement that lacked faith. Now in John chapter 14, you're very familiar with this. Jesus says direct to Thomas in verses 4 and 5 of John 14, "And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. Do we know the way?" Once again, Thomas threw his buddies under the bus with him. Thomas's doubt he placed upon the other disciples made a statement that covered all of them. Well, such uncertainty from a man who was a follower, a disciple of Jesus. So after Jesus told Thomas the way where he was going, Jesus also rebuked Thomas. Listen to these verses, verse 6 and 7 of John 14. Jesus said to him, he didn't say to them, he's speaking to Thomas, he said to him, "I am the way and the truth," church, "and the, no one comes to the Father but through me." Now here's a little rebuke. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Jesus dealt with Thomas. Do you still see the love and compassion? Do you still see the acceptance? Even with Lazarus, even with this verse that we all know, John 14:6, he didn't camp out on Thomas's doubt, insecurity, hopelessness. He answered it, but he said, hey, Thomas, by the way, from now on you have known my Father. More or less, you've seen me, so you've seen my Father. You have known me, so you know my Father. That should give us, when our hearts and our lives are heavy with doubt. We aren't told in this passage now in John chapter 20, we're going to get up here to the resurrection of Christ, and let's read this together, John chapter 20, verse 24. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "I have seen the Lord," but he replied, referring to Thomas, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." For a moment. Let's not just read those and go past. Could you imagine this with me? The other 10 disciples at this time said to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." "I don't care what you've seen. I won't believe it unless I put my fingers in the scars on his hand and my hand into the wound on his side." Maybe you too have had days like this, weeks like this, when even the testimony of your true friends didn't help knock the doubt away. It has this ability to override the truth, take the place of things that we know are for certain, and place our faith in a tailspin. Disciples, they were friends. They lived together, traveled together, ate together, learned from Jesus together, yet none of that mattered at this point in the life of Thomas because he was filled. We are told in Scripture, we go on here in verse 26 of chapter 20, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, was Jesus standing there. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." He said, and then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand to the wound on my side. Don't be doubting, but believe." Jesus knew all about what was going on in Thomas's life. We have no word that anyone told Jesus about Thomas doubting. After all, he is God. Jesus knew that disciple of his. And without a beat missed with you, "Hey, Thomas, come here." Could you picture that? "Peace be with you." It's just like a dad walking into the room. "Hey, guys, good day at work. You have a good day. Hey, Nathan, come here." "Oh, I called you today." There was no cell phone or email going to Jesus. He just knew what was taking place in Thomas's heart. Him to himself. Don't forget that. Even in the doubt of his life, and the statement that this disciple boldly said, "Unless I do this, I will not believe," Jesus Christ said, "Hey, Thomas, come here to me. Put your fingers in my hands. Put your hand into my side. Stop doubting, but be believing." I think it's the most beautiful picture that we have after the resurrection of Jesus. It's beautiful. Jesus offers Thomas the chance to touch his scars and see for himself that he was alive. And then comes the loving admonishment. Stop doubting and believe. Hey, Thomas, Jesus saying, just trust me. I am who I am. You must have faith in me, for I am who I am. I'm standing right before you. See, doubt was something that Thomas struggled with. And maybe you do too. Doubt can be conquered as our faith or trust in Jesus increases. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 reads, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can you say that with me? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say it with conviction.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Thomas made it clear that he wouldn't believe unless he saw and touched Jesus. That all changed when he did see and became believing without the need to touch. Jesus said to him in verse 29 of chapter 20, you, because you have seen me. Thomas conquered his doubt and became a worshiper of what he saw and said, my Lord and my God. Verse 28. Still accepted the worship of Thomas because what Thomas spoke was the absolute truth. Indeed, Jesus is Lord and God. But let's take a warning from this for all of us doubters today. We too must conquer our doubt by trust in God. Trust is our faith being placed in Jesus, the conqueror of death, making us more than conquerors over doubt, faith in him. Jesus goes on to say in verse 29, the second part, blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. We know that Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Romans 4, chapter 4 and verse 3. In Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things. See, faith in Jesus without sight, without signs, without wonders, without feelings, without him standing right before you, inviting you to put your fingers in his hands and your hands side, is the blessed faith that Jesus desires for all of us. Blessed. Blessed are those who not see and yet believe. For us, we don't have the physical Jesus standing before us. Thomas did, and his doubt became he believed. But then Jesus made that other statement, but blessed. Those who believe without seeing, they're blessed. They're blessed by me because their faith in me was strong enough to conquer the doubt without the need of me being there in their presence. Thomas believed by sight, a conqueror over his doubt. We must learn to conquer our doubt by faith. And our faith, as our faith increases, decreases. Doubt isn't the complete absence of faith, but it's the weight of that unbelief that comes upon us. This is why Jesus responded to Thomas after the resurrection with a firm but gentle rebuke, calling him, stop doubting, Thomas. Believe. The longer we carry doubt in our life, the stronger that doubt becomes. We must call doubt what it is, a distrust in God and repent. Then in faith, forward in trusting God. To conquer doubt, we must believe. Now, don't get confused for a moment. We're not just talking about your salvation and your faith in Christ, but there's things in this world that we just doubt. But for the child of God, our faith must be in Him, not in the things of this world. But when we make the things of this world that which we trust in, we eventually get let down. When we place all our hope and trust and our faith in earthly things, they will not last. They will not satisfy. They will not carry us to eternity. But we have this human need, this human thing that maybe I'm the only one that struggles with it, but it's so easy to trust in that checkbook balance that you're going to make it through. God taught me that lesson about 10 years ago. Oh my goodness, I'm getting old. It's longer than 10. It's 2018. 14. After a ministry, we were homeless. My in-laws invited us to move back to East Lansing, Michigan, and to move into their lower-level condominium. And we're living with them. And I wasn't ready spiritually, emotionally, to get back into the ministry. And so I was picking up bus driving wherever I could. And just we cashed in our bills and to survive. And I'm picking up a little bit of driving here, a little bit of driving there. This is Michigan isn't the healthiest financial state anymore, but at one time they were, but this was a struggle. I had to drive an hour and a half to get work to be on the road driving a bus for 10 hours a day. So I'm driving 3 hours just to go get work for 10 hours, and it was just overwhelming. And one day, it's emotional because this works. That morning I got called from a school bus company, too, that I was subbing for, and he says, Kevin, I got to run for you. Someone called in sick. Come in and do this work. And I'm doing this little school bus run. I'm away back to my in-laws' house. God, I just want to see from you what you're doing. I don't understand this. I can't provide for my family. I'm overwhelmed. And I get home, and the mail had arrived. And there was an envelope there from a family that still blesses us today. It's amazing how God uses people in our lives. But I opened this card, and on the front of the card was Hebrews 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And inside the card was more than a month's wages for me. God knows how to turn doubters into trusters. But here's the point. I don't want any of you to think that your doubt changes how God sees you or how He desires to have you grow through those doubting times. These difficult times in our life, when life just happens and we can't understand it, we can't see our way through it, we don't know what's going on, and we begin to well up with doubt, is a time for us to learn to grow and let our faith arise. You see, we often struggle with trust because we doubt. Or we don't trust because we've been hurt. Many of us doubt our own abilities, family members, friends. Many of us doubt God's love, His forgiveness, just to name a few things. When life becomes too much to handle and nothing seems to be way, our heart begins to fill up with doubt. It's that time, it's at that moment when we feel the doubt overtaking us that we must turn to God in faith and trust in Him, even if we don't understand what's happening, and especially when we can't even see the next step forward. God understands, He knows, He cares, and He loves us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. It was a couple years ago for the first time. Look at it sometime. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The last word, path, is plural. I never knew it was plural, but it's plural. It got me thinking. I'll direct my paths. Well, you know what doubt does? You get to the end, you're doubting that you even know where the next step is. But when you trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will direct that next step. He will have you right in that next step and that right next path that He's leading you for life. There has been times in my own life I say, I'm just done with the ministry. Who wants to do this? And so, in my humanity, I doubted my ability of what God called me to do. Maybe you can relate to that in some area of your life. So I decided to go down a brand new path. This is the path God's had me on. I doubt I can do this anymore, God. I'm done. So I'm just going to be like one of those rotator machines that they have for semi trucks. When they crash, they put this big crane down on the semi truck and they lift the thing up and put it someplace else for it to continue on its journey. So I thought, I'm just going to change paths. I'm done with this path. And I go over here. This I'm going to follow now, God. Thank you for putting it there, because it says you're going to direct my paths. Let's use the Bible to help you do what you want to do, right? But thankful for a God who doesn't allow us to do this when our life's committed to Him. But that doubt can stop us. But I just love that first part. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Where does doubt well up? In this tent that we have, our heart. Why can't we lean on our own understanding? Because our understanding is definitely what not God's understanding is for our life. Why should we acknowledge Him? He is of all praise, all adoration. Why does He have a plan for us? Because He loves us. Why does He accept us even in our doubting times? Because He knows who we are. And He's waiting for us to say, okay, I don't care about this doubt any longer. I'm just going to trust in You, God. See, Scripture gives us a lot of help with these things. This wrote, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. A modern version of this could read like this: trust in bank accounts and some in their education, but we trust in the name of the Lord of God. Maybe it's not a bank account or education. You can fill those blanks with whatever you want. Whatever's in those blanks, they will not hold up in the end. They will fail you. Today's the day to move from doubt to trust and become more than a conqueror through Jesus Lord. See, when our faith is weak, God tells us that He daily bears our burdens. Psalm 68:19. When our faith is weak, Jesus tells us to give all our cares, cast all our cares upon Him. 1 Peter 5:7. When we don't know where to turn and doubt is overwhelming us, Jesus says, come to Me, all of you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My load is... Matthew 11:28-30. When we turn from our doubt to Jesus and place our trust in Him, we are able to conquer doubt through faith and say to those mountains, up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must believe it will happen and not doubt that it will happen. Mark 11:22-23. I've had people come to me and say, you know, Scripture says you can say to this mountain, be lifted up and be moved. Or you can say to this mulberry tree to be uprooted and thrown into the sea. I've never seen a mountain move, and I've never seen a mulberry tree be uprooted. And all I can say is because you doubt it would happen. Let me tell you a little story real quick to close this time. In my first lead pastor position in Rochester, we had a young lady who was pregnant. And she contracted E. coli during the pregnancy and got extremely sick. Her and her husband several times in the hospital, in their home. She was on home antibiotics and trying just to save her life and the baby. And one Saturday evening, it was January, if I remember correctly, I got a call at night that she was in the hospital. They didn't expect her to live, that she was going to die. Immediately, I'm not even joking, folks, immediately, the Holy Spirit gave me much faith to walk into the hospital, put my hands on her, and pray in the name of Jesus for her to be made whole. That I was flying on clouds to the hospital. I walked in the hospital, and I doubted everything the Spirit convicted me of before. You know what started happening? What happens if Jesus doesn't do this? Everyone around me is going to think, what kind of Savior do you have? And I was overwhelmed with so much doubt that I couldn't eat the faith to do what the Spirit so, I'll never forget that day. I had so much faith that he was going to heal her completely. But by the time I got there, I was filled with doubt. But I didn't step out in faith. Doubt will stop every one of us. We conquer that when the object of our trust is in Jesus Christ, who conquered death and the grave, and we too become more than conquerors. See, doubt turns the struggles of life into impossibilities. But our trust in God takes the struggle of life and makes nothing impossible through him. Maybe there's an area in your life today that you've just been doubting. Maybe it's your relationship with Jesus. Maybe there's other areas. I don't know what it is for you. But if you are doubting today, if you can relate to doubting Thomas, if you can relate to uncertainties, if you feeling this today and you just want to conquer this doubt thing, I'm going to ask you in faith to stand up where you're at. Take that first step. Nothing is impossible through Jesus Christ our Lord. Anyone else? Doubt got you in a bad way? You may be seated. Thank you. Anyone else? Would you just bow your heads with me? Holy Spirit, I thank you for those that to proclaim that they're struggling with doubt today. Father, may that step that they took just to stand up and to admit it be the step of that's required from them to overcome this doubt with their trust in you alone. Father, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever they're overwhelmed with, whatever they're struggling with this morning, that today as they increase their faith in you alone, that you allow them to conquer that doubt. Lean on Jesus as they trust in Jesus. Fill them with certainty that in Christ they are more than conquerors. fill them with hope that Christ living in them, hope of glory. May they indeed come to Jesus. May they cast those doubts upon him. May they be blessed because they are believing without seeing what comes next. And may each one of us, when those questions of doubt start rising up within us, may we conquer them by taking a firm stand of faith in Jesus Christ, learning to lean on him as we cast all our doubt, cares, uncertainties, and hopes upon the one who took them to the cross, defeated death in the grave, ascended to the Father's right hand, and is coming again. May we too be that conqueror of our doubt through our trust in him, in Jesus Christ alone. In his name we pray and ask this. Amen. If you need help getting through it, I'm going to help you. We do life together. I'm available. Pastor Charles is available. Elders are available. You don't even need one of your elders or pastors. Ask a brother or sister in life to get on board with you, to help you through tough times. Just don't throw them under the bus like Thomas did. But it's okay, because a family, we do it together. As a community, we do it together. And we can conquer this because our God is greater. Amen? As the praise team comes up, we're going to close with two songs that I think you guys are going to know, but also mark them to us, because he puts the music together on his week that he leads. And he sent them, in the recording, they sound like they came out of the Appalachian Mountains of Kentucky with a washboard. And so they're really, so we may try to do them a little bit different this morning. Let's stand up and let's lean on the everlasting arms, and 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.